Welcome to Operation Retirement Readiness, where Amy and Mike, two certified financial planners, talk about how military members can prepare for transition and how veterans can prepare for ultimate retirement. This podcast represents the views of the hosts and any guests. It is for informational purposes only and should not be considered tax, financial, or legal advice. All information is regarded to be from reliable sources. The hosts are not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast. This podcast is not intended to replace professional advice.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Amy?
Doing well. So today, you know, just to jump right into things, today you're following up on our last topic about budgeting. I mean, we talked about how people really don't enjoy budgeting at all. But there are times when having a budget and understanding what your expenses are incredibly critical. And so today we're going to talk about one of those times, and that is for folks who are getting ready to retire from the military and whether they are going on to another job, private sector or government job, or starting a business. Understanding your expenses and being prepared for those is absolutely critical. But it's really difficult for folks to understand how to plan for an income shortage if they're not even sure what their expenses are. And that's where budgeting comes in. So Mike, you know, what are your thoughts around that?
First of all, you hit the nail on the head with, you know, this is one of those times that's incredibly important to budget. Transitions are hard. You know, switching jobs, retirement, ultimate retirement, all those things are huge stress events, and adding the financial uncertainty on top of it makes me even worse. If you don't know what your expenses are, it can be challenging. You know, the big rule of thumb that I like to tell folks is just save more. You know, build up that transition budget. Even if you don't know exactly what you're going to need the money for, more is always better. Cash is king. You have the optionality. If something happens, you can react and, you know, don't get yourself in a worse position. So, you know, whether that's just building a separate fund for a transition or, you know, supersizing your emergency savings, those are kind of the key things that I like to think about when I'm looking at transition funding, especially military retirement transition funding.
Yeah, I agree. More is better. Because not only do you need to understand what your normal everyday expenses are, there's going to be expenses that, you know, we didn't have to think about when we were on active duty or when we were in the military. You know, new things like buying business attire, which is expensive and you need more of it. It's not the same thing every day. If you're moving, purchasing a new home or upgrading the current home that you're in, you know, I'm kind of thinking back to what my expenses were when I retired. But Mike, what additional expenses did you have as you were retiring?
So the one thing that I think a lot of people may overlook when they're doing this is actually all the things around the retirement, you know, the ceremony, the gifts that you get for, you know, attendees, the reception or party afterwards, if you've got family or friends coming in, hosting all that, while probably not a huge, huge expense, it is something that if you're not thinking about comes up. One of the big things, you know, we moved cross country, and so bought a house. So you have all those expenses. And one of the things that you're used to when you move, when you PCS, is dislocation allowance. Well, you don't get dislocation allowance on your last move. So that's typically several thousand dollars that, you know, is useful for shutting off utilities and, you know, other, you're starting new utilities at your new location. That's all on you now. And there's no money there for that piece. So those are some of the things that I think about as the immediate expenses that come up when you're transitioning, and a few that, you know, you may not think about when you're doing the big picture look at, okay, job and clothes and things like that.
Yeah. I stayed local, but you're absolutely right. I ended up spending quite a lot of money, with, you know, in terms of having a retirement ceremony and recognizing the people, who had helped me throughout my career. Like I said, I stayed local, but I took a job with a large financial services firm. So I was buying business suits and all that kind of stuff. There is always a gap in income. So even though I had a job walking, when I retired, I still had sort of completely, I wouldn't say completely unexpected, but uncertain. You know, I wasn't exactly sure what my income picture was going to look like. So even though I had a job, I wasn't sure what my income picture was going to look like in terms of timing. So when my paychecks were going to start, your retirement paychecks, things like that. So in addition to understanding what your expenses are, so your day-to-day expenses, anticipating the new expenses that you may face as you transition, whether you're staying where you are, you're preparing to move again, and all of the expenses around the celebration of your retirement, you will also have to understand what the income gap is going to end up being. So you have sort of two uncertainties there, the expense side and the income side. Because depending on the job market, you might not be unemployed for some period of time. If you plan to go to the government, there are certain cases where you have to wait 6 months before you can take a government appointment. Even if there isn't a waiting period, onboarding with the government can take, I've heard of it taking up to 3 or 4 months to onboard with the government, sometimes longer. And if you're planning to start a business, I know a lot of military service members, like us, start businesses. So there's a good chance that you're not only going to have to go without a paycheck, but you're going to have enough cash on hand to also keep the business going.
Yeah, that's all. Those are great points. And, you know, speaking of the gap, you know, one thing that other, you know, until you kind of start looking into this, you may not realize the gap between when you hit official retirement and you get your last paycheck and then when your retirement pay actually starts. So, we'll just use an example, say you retire 30 September, typically you'd get paid that day, but all of the services hold that last paycheck a little bit to just make sure that everything is correct. So, you know, they've reduced the time. It used to, you know, some people horror stories of, you know, it being 45 days before they get their last paycheck, but they've gotten better. I think mine was within 2 weeks, and I think most of the other services are about that now. So you'll have a little bit of a gap where you won't get that last paycheck, and then your retirement pay won't actually start till the end of October. So, you know, the end of the month. So there can be a gap there. And then the other piece is, you know, your retirement pay is typically quite a bit less than the full paycheck you were getting. So that will be a kind of shock to, you know, the drop in income that you'll see there. So having a plan for that just month time frame is incredibly important. If you're not, you know, if you haven't started work already while you were on terminal leave or something like that. So.
Yeah. And, you know, the other point to this is that your income timing. So we've always gotten paid on the 1st and the 15th, or maybe just one time a month, depending on how you chose to get paid. But most people, you know, you're getting paid on the 1st and the 15th. The tempo of your paychecks is likely going to change. There are some companies that pay on the 1st and the 15th, but the government pays every other week. So 26 pay periods in a year. 2 months have 3 pay periods. Most of the months have 2 pay periods. A lot of companies do that as well. Some companies pay one time a month. And then your retirement paycheck is only one time a month, period. So there's no way to split that up. So in addition to sort of the uncertainty around what your income might be, the timing could change. So you'll have to pay attention to how your bills are hitting, and just make sure that you've got the right amount of cash. One on hand, but two also in your checking account, because you've gotten used to a certain tempo of paying your bills and your income comes in, it covers those. So we talked about, you know, more is better, but just to kind of give you some sort of target to shoot for, it's still a good rule of thumb 3 to 6 months of expenses to be on hand, absolutely accessible and ready to go, just to give yourself some breathing room.
Yeah, that's so true. And before you touched on the business owner piece or going, you know, trying to be an entrepreneur, you know, you may need a bigger cash cushion than even the 3 to 6 months that folks typically recommend. It can be 12 months, 24 months that you need living expenses if you're the, you know, sole income in a family, or if you're single, and, you know, building out a good solid plan. I know that's what I had to do, and you know, don't use rosy projections is kind of key, because that can force you into bad decisions if you're like, I've got to have money coming in. If you say, oh, I'm going to be profitable within 6 months, and it takes you a year, you know, that can be bad, and it can force you to either abandon the entrepreneurial journey or, you know, have to scale it back considerably. So, you know, just having an understanding of what you want to do. Another thing that some people like to do is take a sabbatical, take, you know, an extended period of time off, maybe even beyond terminal leave. You know, I think that's a great idea. It's a good break in your life. If you decide, you know, you want to change career paths, and, you know, maybe you need to do some schooling, maybe you need to refine some skills, or you just want to go and do some self-improvement stuff, or even just relax. But building that budget out across whatever amount of time that you know, project to be without income coming in other than your retirement pay and maybe VA disability is, you know, important to making sure that your plans come to fruition.
Exactly. And, you know, facing a military transition, you know, there's a lot going on. It's a very stressful event. We've talked about that. But on one hand, you know, it's very important for you to have a lot of self-confidence going out, looking for jobs, taking interviews, or launching a business. Those things require you to be very optimistic. They require you to be very positive about, you know, positive with your self-talk, things like that. When it comes to preparing your budget, that is not the place to be rosy. That is the place where you should be really brutally honest with yourself about how long you may experience an income gap between the expenses that you will have and the income that will be coming in with just your retirement pay. It's also not the time to be overly optimistic about what your VA disability decision might come back looking like. The earliest you're probably going to see any sort of VA disability paycheck, if you will, is a couple months after you retire. And it's not always in addition to your retirement. Sometimes it's going to offset the amount of money that you receive as you go through the appeals process. So, you know, it's on one hand, it's important to be very optimistic and to, you know, take good care of yourself from a mental standpoint and emotional standpoint. But from the budgeting angle, it's really important to be brutally honest with yourself. And, you know, just not just on the income gap, but also being brutally honest about what your needs expenses are, meaning what portion of your budget do you absolutely have to fund? So you have to have a place to live. You have to have electricity. You have to have transportation to get enough money to transport yourself around. So whether that's a car or public transportation or whatever, there's certain things that you have to do. What are the needs in your budget? Because you will not cut your budget to zero, no matter, you know, how much you like to save. So you have to be brutally honest about that. And then you have to be brutally honest about what standard of living your family is willing to accept in the needs side of things. And last time, Mike, we talked a little bit about sort of the budgeting process and things like that. Can you just kind of revisit or recap what we talked about last time in terms of building a budget?
Sure. The main thing is looking at those expenses, like you just said, you know, what are the absolute mandatory things, your mortgage or rent and, you know, food, transportation, all of those things, you know, looking back, hopefully you've kept some records. If not, hopefully you're starting early enough and can, you know, start collecting that for several months and kind of look at those things. And that's your mandatory budget. Don't forget those things that are kind of, you know, periodic in nature. So fixing the car, taking a vacation, those other, you know, basically add it all up, multiply by the amount of time that you want to, you know, are planning to save for, and, you know, just multiply, and you'll get, you know, kind of that savings target that you need for, you know, whatever amount of time. I always like to add a little bit of additional, just as a buffer, especially if it's, you know, planning for this transition where, okay, what if it takes 8 months instead of 6 months to get the job that I want?
Yeah, it's that those are really good points. And, you know, once you have the information that you just spoke about, and you understand what your spending target is and that cushion that you're going to need, then the hard part starts. So if you're already living within your paycheck, but spending all of your paycheck, you're going to have to start cutting because you're going to have to save. So the earlier you can start the process, the easier it will be for you and your family to maintain the standard of living that you've come to be comfortable with. Because it could take, you know, 12 to 24 months to build up the cash cushion target that Mike just talked about.
Yeah. So what's your thought? I mean, I will tell folks that, you know, say they're contributing to the TSP or some other retirement, say IRAs, or even just, you know, saving somewhere in an account that, you know, maybe invested in the stock market or something. I'll tell them, hey, for this 2 year window or 1 year window, let's divert that. Let's keep it in cash. And, you know, just so we have it when we might need it. And, you know, if they're planning to continue working, you know, that's easy. Yeah, it'll take, you know, maybe a 3 year kind of window where you're under, you know, investing in your retirement account. But most of the time, people are making a lot more after they retired with the retirement income, second income coming in. And, you know, you can build it back up relatively quickly if you're, you know, truly focused on that. So,
yeah, I agree with that strategy as well. You know, the reality is that if you're diverting that money into your TSP, the reality is that if you get into a situation where you're short on cash, you might be tempted to go to your TSP and take money out, in which case now you're simply paying more to get access to your cash through that 10% penalty, because there is no, you know, there's no rule of 55 for military for the usually. We're often retiring younger than that. So that's not going to help us. So you don't want to open yourself up to that 10%. And my philosophy is sort of like yours, where you are likely going to have higher income after you get a job. And in that case, then you can get caught up using the cash that you saved before. There's probably still some left, so you can channel more into your retirement account than you did before, just to get caught up a little bit. I think that makes perfect sense, Mike.
Yeah, all great points there.
You know, the other thing that we haven't talked about, we talked about, you know, the 10% penalty. The other issue of not having enough cash on hand isn't just that, you know, if you need to tap other resources, it might not be a great time to do that, either because the market's down or because of that penalty. The other thing that it does is it might create enough stress that you end up taking a job that you know is not the right fit for you, just because you're too stressed out, you know, and you're wanting to provide for your family. And then if that happens, you're going to end up making another job change in fairly short order. Oftentimes, I can't remember what the statistic is, but there's some large number of military folks who end up changing jobs within 2 years of retiring. And that's, it may or may not be quite as stressful as a transition as retirement, but making changes can sometimes be stressful. So you don't really want to be forced to take a job that you know is not a right fit. You want to have the flexibility to make a good choice for yourself.
Yeah, great point. Yeah, it is I don't remember the statistic either, but it's significant, like you said, that folks change jobs. And, you know, some of that's just, hey, you've been doing something, you know, 20 plus years and, you know, don't know what's the other side is like. And so it happens even if you're not financially stressed, but definitely being forced to take something you don't like is, you know, suboptimal.
And, you know, in terms of giving up a little bit in the short term in order to fund that emergency cushion, the reality is that creates a habit of discipline and sticking to your budget, which that habit is going to be valuable to you as you endure the income gap between military retirement and being able to start that next job. Before we get into sort of wrapping things up, you know, the last part of the transition, of course, then is once you've found a new job, if you've depleted your emergency fund as you got through that transition, it's time to rebuild that back up. So there could be, you know, 12 to 24 months prior to leaving the military, plus the amount of time that it takes to find another job, plus the amount of time that it takes to rebuild your cash cushion, where you're having to adjust your standard of living just a little bit. So quite honestly, the earlier you can start, even, you know, 10, 15 years before you think that you're going to get out of the military, just to have enough cash to be able to get through the transition and adjust your lifestyle for a less period of time is a really good idea. Mike, do you have any thoughts about that? Or can you recap where we've been today?
I think the biggest thing is starting early, you know, that you just kind of hit on is, you know, coming up with your plan and then building a realistic budget, looking at what, you know, are the big pieces that are going to happen with your transition. If that's moving, if that's staying, you know, in the same place, but maybe having to move out of base housing, you know, whatever those things are, getting a realistic, hey, this is what it's going to cost, and then figuring out how much money you need to save. And the kind of last thing I'll say is, you know, save more, have extra, even if you don't think you'll need it. The optionality that it affords you is so much better than being stressed about it and having to run up credit card debt.
I agree completely. You know, having more, saving more gives you options. And when you have options, life always feels a little bit less stressful when you have options. So, you know, we'll leave everyone with the thought that, you know, preparing to leave the military is very exciting, whether you're retiring or you're leaving for, you know, your commitment is up and you're ready to move on to other things. It's a very exciting period of time. But it's also a period of time that can be incredibly stressful. And the more that you can do for yourself, the earlier you can do, the earlier you can get a handle on your expenses, the earlier you can get a handle on having a cash cushion to help you through the income gap, the happier you're going to be on the other side of it. And so, you know, because the main goal is that once you leave the military, if you're retiring from the military, you're going to be entering some of your highest earning years. And the goal is to really enjoy those years. You've given up a lot to serve your country. So you should have the opportunity to enjoy the years where you're making quite a lot of money and even beyond. But in order to do that, you have to give up a little bit in the short term. And so with that, we're gonna leave you with these thoughts. And in our next podcast, we're going to be talking about preparing for ultimate retirement. So at the end of those highest earning years, and as you head into, you know, your late 50s, 60s, 70s, whenever you'd like to retire.
Yeah, that's great. Looking forward to discussing that in a couple of weeks.
Sounds awesome, Mike. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
To get transcripts, show notes, or more information, go to operationretirementreadiness.com. Have a question or topic for the podcast? Send it to info@operationretirementreadiness.com. Find out more about Amy and Mike at their websites. Amy is the founder of Instar Financial Planning, LLC. She is retired from the U.S. Army and has worked in the financial services sector since 2019. She's a certified financial planner, a chartered federal employee benefits counselor, and a chartered retirement planning counselor. You can find out more about Amy at instarfp.com. Mike is the founder of Next Mission Financial Planning, LLC. He retired from the U.S. Air Force and has worked in the financial services sector since 2021. He is a certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, and a certified college financial consultant. You can find out more about Mike at nextmissionfinancialplanning.com.